You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The prohibition of cannabis has been as effective as blasphemy laws, with 40% of Kiwis having consumed cannabis in their lifetimes, says the Opportunities Party. According to the New Zealand Drug Foundation, between 2007 and 2011, the government spent $59 million imprisoning people for minor drug offences, with over 1,000 individuals being sentenced for cannabis-related offences during this period. I spoke to Jeff Simmons, the deputy leader of the Opportunities Party, about their proposed cannabis policy.
Well, it's all about reducing harm. So what we did was looked into the harm that is caused by the use of cannabis, and actually, well, the first point is that it's far less than the harm caused by alcohol, which is, of course, a legal drug. And most of the harm caused by cannabis is actually caused by the fact that it is illegal. So, firstly, people have to contact and deal with criminals in order to access the drug, which can lead to harms. Of course, often it leads to that's actually the source of the gateway drug problem, that people get exposed to harder drugs like P. In fact, often gangs will restrict the availability of cannabis so that they can push P, which has a higher profit margin. And the second major source of harm from the use of cannabis is the fact that we criminalise it and we put people through the criminal justice system, which leads to all sorts of problems, because actually prisons are basically universities for crime. People come out more likely to commit crimes than they go in. So those are the two major sources of harm from cannabis in New Zealand. So actually, as we're seeing overseas, we can reduce harm by legalising it, by regulating it, and in particular taxing it, so that we can keep the price high, keep usage under control, and use the money that raises to reinvest in education, alcohol and drug treatment programs, and good mental health stuff for young people.
So what age limit would you impose on it?
So we're looking at the age of 20 as an age limit. Of course, there is some evidence that up until the age of 25, while the brain is developing, that cannabis can have a negative impact on brain development. But of course, we need to balance that with the fact that obviously, younger people are more likely to use the drug. So we had to strike a pragmatic balance there and came out with 20 as the position.
With regards to brain development and consumption of cannabis, do you know what the similarities are with alcohol?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of similarities with alcohol, in that, both of them are generally better off not consumed until the brain is fully formed, which for some people can be as old as 25, as I mentioned. The one issue that is quite different for cannabis is that some people have a genetic predisposal to schizophrenia, which can be triggered by smoking cannabis when their brain isn't fully developed. So that's one thing in cannabis that is quite different. But of course, there's other risks with alcohol that are quite different too, in terms of particularly in terms of the amount of accidents that it can cause amongst young people.
Do you know what the numbers are on that? As in how many people are genetically predisposed to develop schizophrenia from cannabis use?
No, I mean, it's not a big it's not a big percentage of society. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but this is something that the Dunedin study has helped improve the data on. Yeah, we're not talking massive numbers, but it is a risk.
And why does the Opportunities Party go for full legalisation as opposed to just legalisation for medicinal use?
Well, actually, there's better evidence that we should legalise completely than just for medicinal use. The evidence on medicinal cannabis is rapidly improving, but it's actually starting from a really low base, and there haven't been a lot of trials and studies done on the medical benefits. We are seeing some trials which which are showing benefits, you know, as we saw for Helen Kelly, around, you know, treatment when receiving chemotherapy, helping, you know, helping people keep weight on and reduce pain. There are some benefits around around chronic pain, but I think you know, anyone who's used cannabis would know that would think it's pretty obvious that that it's going to reduce pain and give you the munchies. So you know, those studies haven't really told us anything about the drug that we didn't already know. But actually, yeah, the evidence for full legalization is still quite a bit stronger than it is for medicinal cannabis. And the problem you get with medicinal cannabis, and this, you know, may not be insurmountable, but it is something that we think would need to be worked through if we were looking at medicinal cannabis, is that, as we've seen overseas, if you're asking doctors to become a gateway for what's effectively otherwise an illegal drug, it can throw up all sorts of funny boundary issues. And you know, you see in California that you get, you know, medicinal marijuana doctors popping up in different places, and it kind of makes a mockery of the whole thing. So that's why we favour, you know, full legalisation as a you know, the first best solution, really.
And Jeff, I have to ask, do you smoke weed?
Oh well, I would be lying if I said I never had. Put it that way.
Are you a regular user?
Oh, look, not these days. It's a, you know, I don't have time for that sort of thing. You know, being a politician, you don't really, it's pretty much a 7-day a week job. So you have to be on all the time. But you know, certainly during my youth, there was periods where I would have been classed as a regular user for sure.
With regards to driving under the influence of cannabis, what is the party's stance on that?
Well, absolutely, driving under the influence, just like driving under the influence of alcohol, is a bad idea, and we should avoid that at all costs. The real issue with cannabis, but we have this issue whether it's legal or not, right? Because people are being caught, you know, driving under the influence now. The issue is testing, and actually the police have adopted quite a good system of testing for impairment as a precursor to testing for the presence of drugs. So actually the police system is working quite well in terms of you know, being able to tell if people are smoking under the influence. The real problem actually is in the workplace testing, because some workplaces are using tests that can, can show up marijuana being in the system for up to a month. And, you know, that's absolutely crazy. I mean, everyone knows that the actual impairment from using cannabis, lasts for a matter of hours, not for a matter of days or weeks or even up to a month. So there's some real issues there in terms of penalising occasional weekend users of cannabis, and effectively keeping them out of the job market.
Yeah, you raised a good point there. So how might you combat that problem of employees being tested and THC showing up in their system from a month ago?
Yeah, well, I think again we have to all of these things are much easier to regulate if it is. If the drug is legal and we can start to talk about these things openly. What I would say is that the police system has been adopted by Air New Zealand, I understand, and we would consider that best practice for companies to take up. Again, that's a matter of education, so that's why, again, we're talking about using the funds from taxing cannabis to really educate the public, and that applies not just to young people but to workplaces as well. These are the sorts of things you should look out for. These are the ways that you can deal with it that's best practice, instead of relying on these quite flawed tests. That said, I think over time, as marijuana becomes legal around the world, which is happening, we're seeing it in more and more countries now, I think we will get better tests and these sorts of issues will disappear.
So the party's obviously for marijuana legalization. What about decriminalization of other recreational drugs, as was done in Portugal?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting one. We are working on our wider criminal justice policy at the moment. You know, that is going to deal with the wider drug issues. I mean, there's an active debate there, which, you know, when you go and talk to the sorts of communities that are really struggling with the likes of P, you know, that they actually don't want this drug to be made, that they don't want it to be decriminalised. But one solution which we have seen work quite well overseas and is being trialled here, so we're just looking at the evidence from that here, is the use of what they call drug courts. So effectively how those work is that if you are, you know, discovered, you know, to be using drugs and you end up in the criminal justice system, what tends to happen under this system is that you get sentenced to rehab, and it's only if you don't complete the rehab that you end up with a prison sentence. Whereas at the moment, what our criminal justice system does is that we sentence people to prison, and then we try and get them to do rehab while they're in prison. And that really doesn't work, because prisons are not nice places. So actually, you know, that whole approach tends to fall over.
Lovely. Thank you very much for your time. That was Jeff Simmons of the Opportunities Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.